Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date is April 25th, episode 47 of this podcast. In today's podcast, we get into three topics, I guess you could say. Number one, we'll recap the game twos of game threes are going to be played on Friday. We'll have the Bucks heading to Indiana in a 1-1 series. We'll have the Clippers head to the Mavericks also in a 1-1 series. And we will see if Phoenix can get a win after going down 0-2 to Minnesota. Next, we'll look at a couple of awards that were announced in the last couple of days. First, Tyrese Maxey winning Most Improved Player. I'll talk to you about whether I think that was the right person to receive the award. And then we'll end today's podcast talking about the pride of Asbury Park. Everybody knows I'm from Neptune. Naz Reid from the town over. Naz winning the Sixth Man of the Year award. And let's get started with a recap of game number two between Indiana and Milwaukee. If you heard me talk about this in previewing this game last podcast, my thought process generally was that Indiana needed to play with a little bit more pace. They needed the game to get up and down. You saw the over-under, folks, go from 230.5 to about 220 to 222.5, 223.5. So to me, when I saw the numbers come down, my thought immediately was this had to be a running game. And Indiana had to get out in transition. And boy, did they do so as Indiana takes down Milwaukee 125 to 108 to even the series at one. And obviously, first off, you know, we got to talk about the play of Pascal Siakam. A Pascal Siakam that had 37 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. You know, Miles Turner, bounce back game with 22, 7, and 6. Nembhard, 20 points. Also, the fact that we still aren't getting high-scoring games out of Tyrese Haliburton. On the flip side, Dame time was on time, 34, 4, and 5. Brooke Lopez, 22 points, 1 rebound. Lord have mercy, you're 7'1". I still don't get it. And Chris Middleton, 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists. But to me, we really have to start with Pascal Siakam, which has been, you know, it's taken him a little bit of a while to kind of put his mark on this team. But through the first two games, folks, he has been by far, the best player for the Indiana Pacers. 30 points in both games. Think about this, folks. If he didn't score 30-plus points in game number one, they lose by 30. That's how good Siakam has been. So Pascal, who's really starting to get into his groove with Indiana, was absolutely fantastic. You can look at Miles Turner. A Miles Turner that did not shoot the ball well in game number one in that 109-94 loss. Miles Turner shot 5 out of 17, 3 of 9 from three. What did I say to you, folks? I said that Miles Turner needed to stick his big butt into that low block or try to not shoot, in my opinion, as many threes. Well, Miles Turner did shoot less, but he made more, 3 of 6 from three. So I think that was key. And also the 6 assists will help. Now, Nembhard was great as well with 20 points. Tyrese Haliburton, who did not score well, is not taking as many shots, folks, but he still got 12 assists and was a plus 17, and he got the game moving up and down. Last guy really quick from Indiana I talked about was Obi Toppin with 9 points. I said that he's got to get involved in transition. Now, he shot 1 of 5 from three. That's not Obi's game. Obi's got to get up and down and run, but Obi Toppin, 9 points, 8 rebounds in 21 minutes. He should be able to go over his points prop every game as long as you don't have Giannis. So when you get to game number three, when you are a road team, all you want to do, folks, is you just want to get a split, right? The adage is the playoff series don't start until a road team gets a win. Well, the road team got a win. So now Indiana's in the driver's seat right now with this game. So it should be pretty important how this game goes. Over 222.5. I think, folks, the game goes over. Regardless of who wins, I think Indiana plays with pace. I think Indiana's the better team without Giannis. And I will say this, folks. I want you to think about this. Even if Giannis comes back in this series, if I'm Rick Carlisle, ready? I run more. Because there's no way Giannis comes back and he's healthy. Expect this game to go up and down over 222.5. Also, Chris Middleton, I did think I saw today, is questionable now. So that would be something to watch, as Chris Middleton has played pretty well in these first two games. Obviously, a double-double in game one. But I do like, more than anything, the game to go over 222.5. I expect this game to get up and down. And how about a happy hour special? 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You can go to the bar. You can have yourself a couple of cold ones, or more if you like. And then you get right down to business at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow night. The next game on the docket is going to be game number 3. And such an intriguing series between Dallas and the Clippers. Dallas evens out the series with a 96-93 win. A defensive battle, if you will, between these two teams. And to me, you know, when you look at this game, Luka Doncic was you know, didn't shoot the ball great for the floor, but still gave you 32-9-6. Kyrie Irving, folks, I've been running to this window with this Kyrie over 8.5 rebounds plus assists. He's gotten to 10-9 the first two games, and that's something that I'm continuing to look at. Kyrie was absolutely fantastic with 23 points. Now, listen, neither one of the guys shot the ball great, but that's okay. You look at the flip side. James Harden, 22-6-8, looked good, right? 6-14 from the floor. PG 13, 22-4. Kawhi Leonard, here's the big thing. Kawhi Leonard worked his way back, a little bit rusty, but still had 15 points and 7 rebounds. And I think when you look at this from a Dallas perspective, same thing as Indiana, you wanted the split. And I thought this was such a big game for Dallas because of the fact that they need to get the split, even though Kawhi was coming back. So to me, I thought that was a fantastic performance. But to me, the guy that you got to look at is, I said this, folks, remember, I said they had to get a third scorer, Dallas. And to me, I thought it was going to be Tim Hardaway Jr. A Tim Hardaway Jr. that got hurt, right, in game number 2. He's already been ruled out in game number 3, which will be Friday night. So who stepped up? How about the play of P.J. Washington? 18 points, 3-4 from downtown, 6 rebounds, plus 6, right? He was really, really good. And they got some contributions from Maxi Kleber with 6 points, 6 rebounds. I'm a little surprised they've kind of pulled the plug with Daniel Gafford. But what it looks like, folks, is Daniel Gafford is dealing with a back injury. So that's another thing to watch. He is questionable for for the game Friday night, and he did not practice today, Thursday. So that's something to watch out for. So for props, maybe for game 3, look at Maxi Kleber, look at P.J. Washington, and then look at Derek Jones Jr., who got you 10 points and 7 rebounds. Game number 3, line is out, Mavs minus 4.5, over under 210 on the money line. And I really think when you look at this matchup between these two teams, I think this is going to be an absolutely great series, and it really can go either way here in regards to what you're thinking. But if you think about the trends head-to-head with these teams, right, over-unders during the regular season, 218 for game number 2, it went under. 226, game number 1, game went under. I mean, 240, 232. Right? These are the numbers, right? The last time they went over their number was 232. It was a 144-126 win by Dallas in November. Folks, that's not happening, right? That's not happening. You just see these numbers come down because of the half-court basketball game. 210.5. I actually think we could see this game stay under in this. Both teams really are the biggest transition teams. I think they're willing to play it's a half-court game and rely on the shot makers and shot creators. So under 210.5, I'll look for. And I'll look at Dallas to take a 2-1 series lead. Last game, and maybe the most important game to me to be played Friday night, is game number 3 between the Timberwolves and the Suns. Game number 2, 105-93 win by the Minnesota Timberwolves, covering again in a game where Devin Booker played better, gave you 20, but Kevin Durant did not, shooting 6-15 from the floor with only 18 points. Eric Gordon, the wily veteran, been around a long time, did score the ball a little bit. But the problem that you're going to have with this Phoenix team, folks, is the fact that they still can't get all three of these guys to play well right now. Grayson Allen still does not look well with that ankle injury, only 3 points in 17 minutes. He is questionable for tomorrow night's game. Yusuf Nurkic was much better. I talked about him having a rebound, 10 points, 14 rebounds. I told you they need to go over the rebound prop with him. He did do that, so he will be better. The problem with Phoenix is I just don't think they're athletic enough. I mean, Phoenix looks like the team guys that just got old really quick. But it's more than just got old really quick. They don't have, like, the balance. Like, think about this, folks. Minnesota, Matt, if you could bring back up that graphic here for people that are watching this. With Minnesota, like, look at the fact that Karl-Anthony Towns, 12 points, did not play well, 3 of 7 from the floor, had 4 turnovers, had 4 fouls. You know, Anthony Edwards, 3 of 12, 15 points. But you get Rudy at 18 and 9, and then the biggest guy so far, and I'm going to say this, folks, could be the best player so far in this series. You're going to go crazy. Jaden McDaniels, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, some really big threes, big three or two in the fourth quarter. And a Jaden McDaniels, who really came into this league and really has been a 3 or D guy, has been really, really good. Now, he only scored 9 points and 6 rebounds, but he kind of gives you that junkyard dog tough mentality. And I think when you look at Phoenix guys, they don't have that. And this is the problem when you build a big three and you got to go use the trade route to go get a lot of these guys. You hurt your depth. You hurt your defense. You hurt your athleticism because you're moving young parts. Phoenix looks old. Minnesota had their two best players pay poorly, and they won by double digits. What does that tell you about Phoenix? What does that tell you, folks? That this is a must-win for Friday night. Line is out. The Suns are giving 4 points over under 207.5. Think about this. A Phoenix Suns team that has one of the greatest scorers in our generation in Kevin Durant. A Phoenix Suns team that has one of the greatest scorers today in the NBA in Devin Booker. A Phoenix Suns team that has a great scorer over the course of his career in Bradley Beal. And this number is 207.5. Why, folks? This team, Minnesota, can defend. Think about this, folks. In the games that are played this year, here is the totals that Phoenix has put up. 93, 95, throughout the 125 they played earlier in the year, right? 97, okay? Then there was a 133 they put up. Folks, that was November the 15th, right? So the last 3 of the last 4 games, Phoenix hasn't even got to 100 points. So can they get out there and score enough? They better. They better. I do like Phoenix to get this one. I think they're going to try and grind their way back into this series, but it's going to take a big, big, big time performances by their 3 main guys. And I would still look at Yusuf Nurkic to notch a double-double and try to keep Rudy Gobert off the board. It's going to be a pivotal time, folks, in Phoenix. Let's be brutally honest. If Phoenix does not win this series, what are you going to do? Frank Vogel just got there. I mean, you're going to fire Frank Vogel after 1 year? The guy won a championship with the Lakers. I will say this. There is not a lot of movable parts. Matt Ishbia, the new owner of the Phoenix Suns, is very willing to spend the money. But can he get the guys? I will say this. Beal is not going anywhere because I don't think he has enough value. If Phoenix gets knocked out in the first round, especially if this is like a sweep or a 4-1 series win for Minnesota, you will see Kevin Durant and or Devin Booker being traded. Now, the thing that I would do is I would try to trade Kevin Durant. Because if you don't trade Kevin Durant, you trade Devin Booker, you're keeping two of the three older players of that core three together. I would keep Devin Booker and I would trade Kevin Durant. But we all know that Devin Booker, for his age, is going to have far more value on the trade market than a Kevin Durant. But it's interesting times coming up for Phoenix, a team that I thought could win an NBA championship. They have not gotten it done, and you're starting to think that it will not happen. And if it does happen, they better come out and get the next two and get this thing level at two before it heads back to Minnesota. Let's move on to the Sixth Man of the Year award, where Tyrese Maxey won, Most Improved, I should say, award, in which Tyrese Maxey won this year's award. Tyrese Maxey, fantastic year, 25.9 points per game, 37.3 three-point shooting percentage, right? 6.2 assists. You know, folks, let's be honest. Why is Tyrese's numbers up? Come on, guys. It's his usage rate. He's gotten the ball in his hands more because James Harden isn't there. And he also played long stretches of this year without, if he was not injured, the real MVP of the NBA, and that's Joel Embiid. So if that is the case, then this doesn't make sense to me. Very simply, folks, to me, the most improved player in the NBA was Kobe White. The problem with this award, folks, is this is often gone to like a guy that's like a budding all-star. Like, that's not what this is, folks. If you pull up Kobe White's stats, Kobe White went from 9.7 points per game last year to 19.1 this year. He shot the ball 44.3% last year, 44.7 this year, better. He shot the ball better from three from a half percentage point, right? He's gotten more rebounds this year. He's almost doubled his assists, right? So Kobe White, who with no Lonzo Ball the entire year, Zach LaVine missing basically the back half of the second half of the year, right? This guy, Kobe White, was outstanding. And look what he did trying to get his team into the playoffs. I'll say it right now, and I got no problems. No problems whatsoever. Tyrese Maxey had a hell of a year. Tyrese Maxey should be considered for all NBA. Tyrese Maxey was not the most improved player in the NBA this year. The most improved player of this season was Kobe White, and it wasn't even close. Let's end today's podcast talking about the Sixth Man of the Year award going to Naz Reid of the Minnesota Timberwolves. A Naz Reid, shout out to Naz, pride of Asbury Park, Mama County, stand up. Great player, great kid. You know, obviously going to Roselle Catholic and playing for Dave Boff and doing a great job. You know, obviously coming through the ranks in New Jersey. But to me, this was a two-legged race, right? It was between Naz Reid and Malik Monk. Now, you may sit there and say, well, Malik Monk missed the last couple of games during the regular season, and maybe that had something to do with it, yada, yada, yada. Folks, no. Don't do that. Don't do that. This award was correct, and I talked about this beforehand. Naz Reid, this year, 13.5 points per game. This is 13.5 points per game, right? And 24.4 minutes, right? Think about this, 13.5 points per game, right? And getting your 5.2 rebounds. Shooting the ball 41.4% from three. 47% from the floor, 48% closer. If you really look at this, Naz Reid really has become an outstanding player as what I call a stretch five. And he can play him different ways. You can play him as a four and stretch him out and put Rudy Gobert inside. You can put Kat outside, put Naz Reid inside. Does a great job rebounding, right? Got about a block a game in 24 minutes. Naz Reid was very deserving of this award. Now, obviously, you know, we can talk about Malik Monk, but if you talk about all the things that Naz Reid brought to this team and how he was part of the best defensive metric teams at times during the regular season. That has partially to do with his flexibility to be a four and a five. It allowed Chris Fritz to play Rudy and Kat the way he needed to, but then use Nas as a way to sub them both out. What a great year for Naz Reid, and much deserving of the Sixth Man of the Year award. This has been episode 47 of our podcast. For all things sports gambling, just go download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be Monday, most likely. Got to check our schedules, NBA playoffs. We'll recap everything going on in the NBA, talk about some more awards, and maybe get into this debate. Did Grant Hill select the right team for Team USA? For my producer, Matty George, Vinny doing a great job with the graphics and the B-roll. This has been Coach Young. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.